The book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. The word of Samuel was actually the word of God that Samuel spoke. The important thing about Samuel is that he was God's spokesman for that day. It says in verse 1, Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Eben-Ezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. It is true that since the battle occurred in an open field, and since the Philistines had chariots, that gave them a natural advantage. But that's not why they won this fight. Back then, as I have said before, the only reason God's people ever lost a battle was because they were not walking with God the way they should. 3. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore has the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it comes among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." This is what I was talking about. Israel thought that having an important religious item, like the Ark of the Covenant, would be sort of like a lucky charm. That's how far they have fallen spiritually. They're looking at it as a lucky charm. What they should have done after losing that first battle was repent and fall on their faces before God and pray. That's the thing that would have helped them. 4. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwells between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. So now the Israelites have the ark without God. They have the ark without God carried by two moral reprobate priests. That's about as spiritually useless as anything can possibly be. It'd be like trying to defend yourself from a nuclear bomb by rubbing a lucky rabbit's foot. Now look at verse 5. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Oh, there's excitement. But it was all emotion. Their emotion did not have a God foundation. It wasn't the overflow of a close walk with God. It was just pure emotion. It was spiritual fizz, and you can't live on fizz. 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What means the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. Whenever an enemy is shouting for joy, I suppose there's reason for concern. And so the Philistines are probably thinking, what does Israel know that we don't know? Verse 7. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there has not been such a thing heretofore." Pagans believed that their gods actually lived inside of their stone or their wood idols. And now the Philistines are afraid because they think that they're going up against a god as well as the Israelites. They're thinking, there's a god in that box. And we hear he's a tough one. 8, woe unto us. Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Well, they got it part right. And they didn't know the God of Israel personally, but they knew he had a reputation of playing hardball. Add to that the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you've got trouble if you go up against him. And that's the truth. And there is a lesson. God is consistent. So his past performance against sinners will show us what we can expect from him if we are an impenitent sinner today. Because he doesn't change. Verse 9. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. In other words, act like men and fight, or you're going to be slaves to the Hebrews. You fight until you have nothing left to fight with, or give up and be a slave to someone you can't stand. And there's an application for Christians. If we choose not to fight sin with all of our heart, it will be like a trap. You commit it, the trap springs, then you're a slave. 10, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. The Israelites that were not slaughtered ran away scared. They walked away from God, and now they are losers and cowards. They had religion, but it didn't do them any good because they didn't have a relationship with God. It's just like today. People who are nominal Christians, Christians in name only, cultural Christians, they've got religion. If you ask them, they'll say, if you ask them if they know Jesus, they'll respond by saying, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist, I am an independent, I'm a Catholic, I'm whatever. And whatever is nothing. You ask somebody who really knows Jesus, are you a Christian? They'll say, oh, yes. Yes, Jesus is my Savior. So that's why the Israelites were in trouble. 11. And the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. God was not captured. But the Ark of the Covenant, his throne was. God really had not been invited to the battle by the Israelites, so he wasn't there. But that lucky charm that they brought into the battle with them, that lucky charm has been captured. Verse 12, and there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh. The same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. Dirt on the head and torn clothes were symbols of suffering and sorrow. This man was sad, and with good reason. And when bad things happen, it's okay to be sad. Jesus himself was a man of sorrows. That's what the Bible says. 13. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching. For his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And notice how Eli's heart trembled. For what? For the holy ark? And not for his two miserable sons? They didn't care about God. And they didn't care that they didn't care. And so, really, no one cared about them. Not even their father, it appears. Verse 14, and when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What means the noise of this tumult?" And the men came in hastily and told Eli, city of Shiloh is actually a prototype of hell because it was full of tumult. There was an uproar. There was a great outcry. It was a place of pain and confusion and hysteria and screaming. Don't go to hell. Do not go to hell. And tell your friends not to go to hell. Because I don't care what sin you're involved in, it's not worth it. 15. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. Eli's 98 and blind. And what does he have left in life? He has memories of seeing sad and horrified looks on people's faces. People who came to worship but ended up being ripped off. Women who came to worship but who ended up being abused by his sons, the priest. Those are the memories Eli has engraved into the back of his blind eyes as he sits here, an old man. And the rebuke of God for not stopping his sons. That's a terrible way to finish your life. Live for Jesus before you get old. Live for Jesus when you are old so you don't have to live with these kind of regrets. You say, it's too late, I've blown it. Well, confess, repent, and start doing it the right way now. God's forgiving. 16. And the man said unto Eli, I am he who came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there has been also a great slaughter among the people. And your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken. The guy has horrible news. And the news only got worse as this man continued to speak. The substance of the news was bad, but it is showcasing the faithfulness of God who said that he would do it. And he did. He did. 18. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. The loss of the ark was more tragic to Eli than the loss of his sons. Here was a man of God who had two wicked boys. He made mistakes in raising them. That's true. But they made mistakes also. He repented. They did not. Now they're dead. And he doesn't even care. You know, even godly parents can only be pushed so far.